go?
All right, put him through, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, the always shy, never a lot to say, this guy. You've seen him in movies. You've seen him on ESPN. He's probably the best trash talker in the world, Michael Rappaport. He's now an author also. The book is called This Book Has Balls. Sports rants from the MVP of trash talking, Michael Rappaport, joining the Morning Buzz. Hey, Michael.
Thanks for having me. How you guys doing?
I'm good. Am I supposed to be, as a New England fan, predisposed
to not
to
liking
argue
you?
With you and not like you? I don't know. Where do we stand?
You know what? I think that you are supposed to be predisposed to that, and I think it's healthy, and I think it's fine. You know, I think that's one of the great things about sport. You know, you love your teams.
Yeah.
You love when they win, and you feel the pain when they lose.
Oh, yeah.
Just like when the Giants beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. That hurt. I get that. And I think that, you know, in sports, if we do it in a way that's, as long as it's, you know, not disrespectful, and as long as a way that's not, you know, hurting anybody, I think it's one of the only safe places left in the world, especially the world we're living in now.
Right.
Where a little healthy hate is okay, and it's a safe space. Because at the end of the day, whether you play third grade kickball or the giant beating the New England Patriots, not once, but twice in the Super Bowl, you know, this is what it's all about. So to answer your question, I think it's okay. One of the things I talk about in the book is, you know, I've been very open and you know, my frustrations and admiration for Tom Brady. But, you know, there's a very rabid culture out there of mad shaming.
Yeah.
And you know, it started when Richard Sherman infamously said to Tom Brady, "You mad, bro? You
yeah.
mad?"
Yeah.
I feel I was on Tom Brady's side at that moment because I think he should have said, you damn straight I'm mad. You just beat us. You intercepted me. Of course I'm mad. But Tom, being Tom, didn't say anything.
Right.
But, you know, then that turned into hashtags, and it turned into people had websites, "You mad, bro?" This. And I think that Tom should have embraced his anger. Right then and there, Richard Sherman mad shamed him.
Yeah.
And as much as I can't stand the Patriots, I was totally behind him at that moment.
Kelly is our...
So, you know, the book... Go ahead,
no, I'm just going to say, Kelly is our news guy, and he couldn't be in here for the interview. He really wanted to because he's a big sports fan. He said he really enjoyed the 30 for 30 on the Knicks and your appearances with Rich Eisen and stuff like that. And one of the questions he wanted me to ask you was, I think he's setting me up, hey Michael, who won last year's Super Bowl? You know, those are the questions he wants me to ask you, you know, to get back at you for the Giants comments. But here's his real question. His real question is, how sick are you, Michael, of obnoxious Boston sports fans? I mean, here, even us in New England, we realize how despised New England fans are.
And some of us are bad.
And
worse
in many
than others.
Cases deserved a bad reputation. How sick are you of them?
I love Boston fans. I love to break their chops, just
yeah.
like Boston fans love to break Philly's chops,
sure.
DC sports fan chops, and New York, you know, sports fan chops. I love them. You know, you guys love your sports. You know your sports. You're passionate about your sports. The one thing I don't get about Boston sports fans is, as successful as the Red Sox have been after 100 years of just heartbreak and disappointment,
mm-hmm.
and obviously the Celtics, you know, have had a history of you know, being great, and of course the Patriots, the Boston sports fans have the worst sense of humor. Like, they have no sense of humor about Tom Brady or anything that has to do with Boston sports. Like, you're so good. Why can't you guys laugh at yourself? That's the thing I don't get about Boston sportsmen. Like, we know you're great. We know the Patriots are one of the best franchises in sports history, but you still have no sense of humor about it. That's one of the things that I get. That's why I like to rib them.
Sure.
It's like, you're not going to win every game. Your coach is totally disrespectful and dysfunctional to the press and the media every single day. And I'm sure you guys have tried to talk to him. He's rude. He's short to everybody. And as a media person, whether you're a Boston fan or not, it's like, Belichick, take it easy, man. Not every question is the stupidest question in the world.
I gotta say that, you know, I definitely felt that way. I used to bitch about it. And then I just kind of got beaten into submission, where I just kind of accept it and say it's like, Manny being Manny, it's Belichick being Belichick. You know what I mean? Now it's just kind of, you know what you're going to get. If I was a press guy, I wouldn't even show up. I legit wouldn't even show up for the press conference. Why? What's he going to tell me? Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, I know. I think it's not fair. I mean, you know, listen, We all are, you know, focused on doing our job.
Right.
And we get it. You're just a football coach. But that reporter there is just a reporter. And you know, we've seen Belichick be charming and thoughtful and talk about things when he wants to be. But every single question that's asked is stupid.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's not fair. And I just think it's rude.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's unnecessary. Like, you know, you can give the reporters a little something every now and then. You know, the Patriots have great personalities, and listen, I don't need to explain all that stuff to you guys, but I just think, you know, the way, you know, he makes Greg Popovich look like the life of the party.
Yeah, he definitely, I love the shirt that's got the many expressions of Bill Belichick, same face in every one. This is Michael Rappaport. This book has Ball Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash, but I do also got to say, I mean, obviously he's been in some great movies. Dude, Copland, awesome, loved it. And what was it like sitting across the bar from Tom Hanks in Sully? What was that? I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, anytime, you know, I get to work with people that, you know, I'm a fan of.
Sure.
You know, there's a little moment of, you know, getting your head on straight and being professional. It's a little surreal at first. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, I'm there to do my thing and he's there to do his thing. And, you know, it's similar, you know, to being an athlete. If you grow up, you know, you're watching, you know, whoever, and then you're out there playing against him. You got to, you know, the only way to get their respect is to come and bring it. So,
yeah.
You know, whether it's De Niro or Tom Hanks or Sylvester Stallone or any of the special people I've gotten to work with, I just try to bring it every time.
Yeah, and you got along pretty well, right? Didn't Sylvester give you some cool advice or something? I know there's something about that in the book too, right?
Yeah, well, I was fanning out on him on all the Rocky movies because that's probably my favorite movie. And, you know, I talk about it in the book. He told me that Burgess Meredith, the actor who played Mickey in all the Rocky films, aside from being a great actor and a great guy, was a fantastic stick man.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that meant. And then he explained a stick man is somebody who's been with a lot of women throughout their life, but in a very respectful, above board, dignified way. And it just blew my mind because you never would have thought
right.
Little Mickey from the Rocky movies was big with the ladies, but apparently he was. And then I broke down in the book the first ever great stick man of all time list.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Michael Rappaport, the book is called The Book Has Balls, Sports Rants from the MVP of Talking Trash. One of the first chapters, by the way, Laura, an apology to Larry Bird.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Well, I obviously, Larry Bird, you know, I love him. And you know, I was a fan of his. And, you know, watching him play against Magic in the NCAA championship spawned the idea for me to be a professional basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
But once he got drafted by the Boston Celtics, it's just like you said at the beginning of the conversation, my DNA took over, and I venomously hated him for his entire career.
Oh, wow.
And you don't hate any lames, you hate the great ones. So I wanted to, you know, apologize for all the hate that I spawned on Larry Legend during his time at the Boston Celtic and you know, when he was associated with the Indiana Pacers, but
yeah.
He came back to haunt me again with my Knicks then as well.
Scotty, he was referring to Larry as the, quote, no-lip-having, non-jumping, inbred Larry F-face. So,
but I apologize for that. I apologize for that in the book, and I know now that words can hurt.
Yeah.
And it was not personal.
You know,
I did apologize.
You know what's funny, Michael? It's because I enjoy you. I like that you stand up for your team. I love that you're a diehard Knicks guy, just like we're diehard Boston guys. But I know that there are people that have already tuned out of this interview because it's you.
Because, do you know,
right?
I'm sure you've
they
heard.
They can't hear it.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure you've heard through the years, you know, as soon as you started doing the Cumbies commercials, which are Cumberland Farms everywhere, so you were on TV more than your normal reruns of Prison Break and stuff. So the fans around here are like, oh, why put Michael Rappaport? He doesn't even like Boston. Why is he all over Boston? It's just a big thing. And then the fact that, you know, we all love Scalabrine. You know, everybody loves Scal. And then the whole thing where, oh, my goodness, Scalabrine looks just like Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, they confused the two of you.
And you guys become friends.
You know what's funny about it? First of all, Scalabrine is like an actual friend of mine. And we have, you know, a funny sort of, you know, relationship, and obviously, you know, we've been compared to the way we look. Although Scalabrine, and I tell it to his face, if he ever dreams of looking as good as me, he should slap himself and go back to sleep.
Right.
But, and as far as the Cumberland Farms commercials, you know, and I mean this with all due respect, Cumberland Farms is not just a Boston coffee place.
Yeah.
I don't know why people are so confused that I did Cumberland Farm commercials. First of all, it's the best coffee in the world, but it's not just it's not just Boston. Boston doesn't own Cumberland Farm, and Cumberland Farm isn't just in Boston. So people were like, why is he doing Cumberland Farm?
I know. I'm like, it's crazy.
What is, like, people are nuts.
It's
like,
crazy. So,
the internet is insane.
Yep.
It's a safe haven for me included.
Right.
I'm not exempt.
Yeah.
The internet is a safe haven for all of our insanity to be on full display. But people, listen to me. Cumberland Farms lives outside of Boston. It's not just in Boston.
I've seen you on, I don't know if it was Twitter or Instagram, whatever, screaming at the top of your lungs, you know, about your team. And I do think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. But I mean, look, you're the reflection, I think, of the New England fan. They will say no that you're not, but you are. You're passionate.
That's why we need each other.
Yeah.
We need each other. And you know, that's what that's what the beauty of sports is. And, you know, as long as it's done and it's not in a disrespectful way, and nobody's getting hurt,
favorite,
that's what it's all about.
Favorite, like, look, well, and I lived through the bad years of the Patriots, the Tony Eason years and the early. I mean, I lived through the good years for the Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins, but the bad years that also followed, all of that. And so when the Sox won 2004, that's going to be, as much as I love the Patriots of football, that's going to be my favorite sports memory ever. The only thing that could beat that is if my UNH hockey team would win the national championship. That would be the only thing that could ever top that. However, that's mine. What about you, Michael? What is your favorite sports memory?
Jesus. You know, I'm not a big baseball fan. Obviously, the Yankees, you know, winning the World Series. But it has to be the Giants. You know,
for
two things. You know, the Lawrence Taylor Giants winning. And then, you know, when we beat the Patriots, the perfect season. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine how good that felt.
Right.
I mean, that was, like, gorgeous. And then the meltdown of Giselle Bundchen, it was just, like, it just got better and better and better and better. Like, the whole thing, even the most diehard Patriot fan can appreciate how much we loved and appreciated beating the world's greatest football team. Even if we never beat them again, we beat them the one time we needed to, the biggest.
Agreed. I gotta give it to you. What did you feel last year when we pulled off the most incredible comeback ever in Super Bowl history? I mean, did that kill you?
It was incredible. It was incredible, man. I was jumping for joy, tweeting, singing, dancing at halftime, and then I literally by the end of the game I lost my voice and I was sipping hot tea with lemon.
Yeah.
I was underneath my table afterwards. But to me, that's what it's all about. You know, it's like that fun of beating and losing and the whole thing, that's what the sports are all about. And like I said, there's so much craziness going on in our country and so much craziness going on in the world. And sports is the safe haven to articulate all of our craziness, whether you're on the good side of it or the losing side of it.
Yeah.
And that's what the book is about. And like I said from the beginning, as much as I like to poke the Boston fans, it's because you know, Boston fans are some of the best in the entire world, and you guys love blindly the same way Philly fans are and the same way New York fans are and the lunatics out in Los Angeles with their Lonzo Ball nonsense. And I can't wait for Kyrie to get a hold of Lonzo Ball. I cannot wait.
I know.
And let me tell you something. As much as I like to poke at the Celtics, you know, I was so excited for that Celtic team because I'll take that Celtic team over the Cavaliers any single day, and I was heartbroken like everybody with that Gordon Hayward injury. But regardless of that, I can't wait for Kyrie Irving to get a piece of Lonzo Ball two times this season. It's going to be unbelievable.
I agree. And dude, I know, like, I'd love to have you back on. For all those people that get angry, I don't even care because I dig it. I think it's great, and I'd love to have you back on. Come back on the show with us, Kelly, our news guy. He wanted me to end with a joke. If you and I'll allow you the chance to respond. The question is, how many New York Knicks players does it take to change a tire? One, unless it's a blowout, in which case they all show up. That's Kelly Brown.
And listen, I'm on board with you. There's three chapters. This is the thing about the book. As much as I like to poke the Boston fans, there's three. The three part is the three hardest hitting chapters are my disdain and frustration for my own New York Knicks.
Right.
I am so sick and so frustrated with the New York Knicks I can't take it anymore.
Well, Michael, we'll have you on again. Great to talk to you, man. We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with us this morning.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
All right, take care, Michael. You got it. I don't know why the people really hate him. They just hate him.
I do not really like
him. Yeah, but you know what he's doing. I mean, he's just he's one of those guys. He'll go right back at you.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing it in a good way. I mean, it's a good hate, I guess, I have for him.
Thanks for the heads up, so I can be sure. This is the post on Facebook when I put his picture up. There's a Monty. Thanks for the heads up. I can be sure to have Pandora on. You should play Who's the Douchebag because he's a slam douche dunk for sure. Kristen, he works for Barstool as well. He's a hardcore douche. Thanks for the heads up. I'll listen to NPR with the volume off. It'll be more entertaining than him.
Yeah, people hate him. I don't mind that. That's he gets me all riled up. But the whole, like, Cumbies thing... I mean, they started in New England, so that's why everybody got mad.
Well, it's only, you know. Hope you got the censor button ready. Rappaport, dude can't go 10 seconds without dropping an F-bomb.
No.
He was fine.
He's a professional.